May we be helped to commence this afternoon's service by singing together part of hymn 1149. Part of hymn 1149 to the tune Church Lane 735. Singing verses 1, 3 and 5. Singing the odd verses. What think ye of Christ? Is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Hymn 1149, June Church Lane, singing verses 1, 3 and 5.
Thank you. together this afternoon from God's holy word in the book of Exodus and chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel dies not one. And Pharaoh sent, Behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. The Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hands toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent, and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and help us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, we thank thee for this opportunity once more to meet in thy house. Lord, we do pray that thy presence might be known and felt amongst us here. Lord, may we be truly gathered together in thy name. And may we feel that thou art in the midst. Lord, we do desire to thank thee for all thy many mercies. The mercies countless as the sand, which daily we receive. We do thank thee, Lord, that we are permitted, welcome, poor sinners as we are, to come before the great, almighty God of heaven. We thank thee that there is that way made through the Lord Jesus, that we can approach unto thee. And we do pray that we might each one of us have hearts to pray. Lord, teach us what we need and teach us how to pray. Lord, may there be that real prayer from each of our hearts. May there be a flowing together in our hearts of the goodness of the Lord. Lord, may there be those things that we can pour out our heart unto thee in. Lord, we do value the privilege of prayer. Lord, how often we find there is a backwardness to pray. We pray that it might not be so. We thank thee also for thy word that we have before us, faithfully translated and freely available. And we think of many throughout the world who do not enjoy this privilege that we do. We do pray that it might be a precious word to us each. Thy word might be a living word to us. And that the gospel might be used of thee by thy spirit to quicken us and enliven us in the things of God. Lord, we pray that each one of us might be kept from coldness and lukewarmness and indifference. We have been reading of Pharaoh and his hard heart. Lord, are we any better? We do pray that we might be given soft hearts. Lord, melt us by thy love. May there be that softening influence of thy Spirit working in us. Lord, we do pray that thy word might be blessed to us even this day. Lord, thou knowest what we need before we even ask. Lord, we do pray that the word this morning and this afternoon might be applied by thy Spirit, that our hearts might be prepared to receive it with gladness, and that there might be that which enters in and gives light and knowledge in our hearts. And Lord, we pray, like the psalmist, Lord, give me understanding. Lord, how much there is that we do not know. How much there is that we cannot understand. We do pray, Lord, that we might each behold wondrous things out of thy law. We do thank thee for every comfort in our lives, our food and drink and shelter, our homes, our families. Lord, we do pray that we might give thee the glory that is due unto thy name. Lord, go before us each in the unknown way. May we find that thou wilt supply all our needs. Lord, we do pray if any have come into thy house with a particular need, a heavy burden. Lord, we do pray that it might be committed into thy hands. Lord, we do pray that there might be that help through the services of thy house. Lord, help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. And Lord, we do pray for each of the little ones, the babies, the children. Lord, we thank thee for them each. And we do pray that thy help might be given to them as they grow. Help them, Lord, to develop, and do grant that they might be given understanding in natural things, such as is good for them. And Lord, much more may they be brought to see thee while they are young. Remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Lord, may there be a seed to serve thee. Whether it be here or elsewhere, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Lord, we do pray that they might be kept as the apple of thine eye. Lord, with the many evils and corruptions and perversions that are put before them in different ways. Lord, we do pray that they might be kept. And Lord, indeed, how we each need to be kept in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We pray for the young people. We do help them, guide them in the way before. We pray for Harry and George with their new pathways. The Lord, do guide them in these things. Provide for their every need. The Lord, keep them and bless them. The Lord, do be with them for good. We pray for parents. The Lord, do grant the help that is needed in many different ways. Strength and patience and wisdom equal to the day. Lord, we do pray that we might often have our eyes up unto thee. Lord, we do pray for thy blessing in the church and congregation here. We pray for our friend the deacon, to help him week by week with the hymns and the reading services and the many different things that fall to him. Lord, we do pray that there might yet be a time of revival. Lord, we do pray that thy work might yet appear. Lord, may there be those who can testify of thy loving kindness, thy forgiveness, thy tender compassion. Lord, may it be so here. Arise, get thee up. There is the sound of an abundance of rain. Lord, we do pray that there might be the time of real blessing. There shall be, says thy word, showers of blessing. And we do pray that it might be so. Pray that there might be those gathered into thy house to worship here. Lord, that there might be those who may have left thy house who are brought to return. Lord, have mercy upon the prodigals. And Lord, do bring them back. We pray, Lord, that thy blessing might be upon the preaching here week by week. Whether by thy servants, the ministers or read. Lord, thou art not limited by these things. We do pray that all might be to thy honour and glory. And Lord, we do pray for each gathering of thy people, for our own nation in the midst of so much confusion and wickedness. We do pray that the evil things that get worse and worse might be a voice unto many. Repent and believe. Lord, we do pray that there might be that awakening as there has been in years gone by in this land. That it might be from our government, our Prime Minister and our King, the downwards. Lord, may there be that witness of thy saving power seen in many hearts. Lord, we do pray that there might be that patient expectation in us, that thy work might continue, that we might yet see better days. Not just, Lord, an increase in numbers, but in grace also, in being established in the things of God. So, Lord, do remember us in mercy. We pray, Lord, for any who feel to be passed by, any who feel to be left out. Lord, may they hear thee say, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Lord, we pray that each one of us might be found truly seeking after thee, and seeking after thee continually. Lord, may thee seekers be finders, and the finders be seekers continually. Lord, may each one of us, whatever our case, whatever our age, whatever our situation, Lord, may we be well taught of thee, that one thing, and only one thing is needful. So, Lord, do remember us each in thy mercy. Send thy Spirit and work powerfully in our hearts. Lord, do prepare us each for an ever-ending eternity. May there be that good hope for us each and all of grace. Forgive what we have asked for amiss. Make up for our poor prayers. And forgive our many sins. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the week, Isle of God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde next Lord's Day evening, and as helps there will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. Today is the day we take our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 958, hymn 958, to the tune Stracathro 863. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Hymn 958, tune Stracathro 863.
Oh, for a clue.
upon the Lord for his help. I would ask you to turn to the book of Psalms, number 62. The book of Psalms, number 62, and we'll read the last few words in verse 11. Power belongeth unto God. Psalm 62, verse 11. Power belongeth unto God. This psalm is a psalm of David, and you know it's a lovely little psalm. It tells us where David was when he wrote this psalm, in his feelings and his thoughts spiritually. You know, there is a little word that keeps coming in through this psalm. That word is that word only. Indeed, the first word of this psalm in the original also means only, truly, only, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Right through this psalm, David is speaking of his trust only in God. He only is my rock and my salvation. It's a wonderful mercy if you and I can say this afternoon with David these things for ourselves. Jesus only is he your rock and your salvation, your defence. Wonderful thing if you can say it so. It's a sad and solemn thing if you have no interest and you have no desire to say these words as David could say them. May the Lord appear for you. But perhaps you're somewhere in the middle. You say, well, I'm not sure I can speak these words of David's with any great assurance, with any confidence. But I wish I could. Perhaps you're there this afternoon. But what are you to do if you're in such a place? Verse 5 tells us, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him alone, from none other. David knew that it's none but Jesus that can do that. Helpless sinners, good, wait thou only upon God. He repeats what he said before. Not vain repetition. He only is my rock and my salvation. You know, it comes to my mind the hymn that we sang, the first hymn. You know, we need to sing these hymns carefully. What do we sing in verse 3? Some call him a saviour in word, but mix their own works with his plan, and hope he his help will afford when they have done all that they can. You know how easy it is concerning the salvation of our souls to try to do what we can, to try to get ourselves some of the way there. You know, we won't be able to. Why? Because the power it belongeth unto God. Why? Because he only is our rock and our salvation. He only is the way to heaven. He only can deliver us from the power of sin, from the curse of sin and death. You know, the more we try to do what we can, the more we will prove it is in vain. We try to, as this hymn says, as it were, make up full weight, to cover the remaining gap with the Lord Jesus and what he has done. About power that belongeth unto God. All that we need is found in Almighty God. All that we need for time, for eternity, all that we need in our daily lives, all that we need spiritually, is found only in God. And so David says, my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge. I've been taught where it comes from. It's in God. It's not in me. Perhaps you know those words. Joseph speaks of them. When he has that, what would seem an impossible task, to interpret the dream. The king says, I hear that you can answer those dreams, you can interpret. What does Joseph say? Yes. Does he say, yes, look at me, I've done it before. I can do it again. I've been given wisdom. I have this wisdom of my own. He doesn't say that. When the king says, I hear you can interpret dreams, he says, it is not in me. It is not in me that God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Why? Because the power belongeth unto God. And Joseph would have the honour ascribed to his God, not to himself. The power didn't belong to Joseph. The power doesn't belong to you or I. So David says in this psalm, because of all that he is, because of all he can do, because of all he has done, because of the way that I have been led, I will put my trust in him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Perhaps we trust in him sometimes. When things get difficult, when we can't manage, when we need a bit more help than normal, that's not what we are exhorted to do. Trust in him at all times. And pour out your heart before him. We spoke this morning of the prevailing prayer of Moses and Aaron and Hur as they held up the arms of Moses in prayer. Pour out your heart before him. When they had their arms up in prayer, then they prevailed, then they had the victory. As soon as they stopped praying, the enemy prevailed. It's a lesson for us. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. And so David here, he speaks of the vanity of earthly things, the vanity of riches, not to set our heart upon them. And then he comes to this point, God has spoken once, or twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You know, speaking simply, and I hope rightly, It's a wonderful thing that God does speak. He does speak to poor, unworthy, guilty sinners. We have it right in the beginning of the book of the prophet Isaiah: "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." He speaks through his words. He speaks to his people through the Spirit. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. Well, again, wanting to speak simply, has God ever spoken to you? Have you ever heard from him? There's another question: has he ever heard from you? God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. God only needs to speak once. It's final, it's certain, it cannot be changed. It cannot be altered, the thing that comes out of his lips. But in his mercy he speaks. And he speaks again and again to his people. And sometimes, by the word of his power, often, a still small voice. God has spoken. And David says, "I have heard." Do we have that ear that Samuel had? To hear the voice of the Lord: "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Are we waiting upon the Lord? It's verse 5 again: "Wait thou only." There's an expectation. You want to hear his voice. God has spoken. You know, as we come to these words for our text, "Power belongeth unto God." There's so much in the word of God concerning God's power. You know, there are so many different parts of the Bible that we could have read for our reading. Right through from the beginning to the end, we have wonderful displays of the power of God. Why is it spoken once? And why is it spoken twice? And why is it spoken continually in the word of God concerning his great power? It's because we need to be reminded. It's because we keep forgetting. It's because, left to ourselves, we go back to trusting in our own power. Or, as the margin says here, our own strength. Power belongeth unto God. Strength belongeth unto God. And yet, left to ourselves, we think it belongs to us. We think we have enough power and strength of our own. The mercy is that God speaks and reminds us of this, that power belongeth unto God. And how different that power is that belongs unto God than that which we have ourselves, how we have it in the word of God. The excellency of his power, the greatness of his power, his mighty power. And then we have this, the exceeding greatness of his power. You say, well, does it need to be put before us in such strong words? Well, it does, because that power is exceedingly great. And that strength that is in God is exceedingly great. And there will be those times in our lives where we have no strength, no might, no power. And then, how precious is this truth, that power belongeth unto God, the exceeding greatness of his power. And we read of, if I can turn to it, in Jeremiah chapter 32, this is the same power that brought the world into being. If I can just find where it says in that chapter where we are told that the heaven and earth. Verse 17, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. Do we see it all around us? Do we acknowledge it? Do we realize it? It's a fact that is despised in our day, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth by the word of his power. He spoke and it was done. But what does it mean to you and I today? Yes, we should marvel at the glory of creation, the work of God's hand, the works of his fingers, the moon and the stars. But as the psalmist says in Psalm 8, what is man? When we consider these things, what is man? Thou art mindful of him. This Lord God who made the heaven and the earth by his great power. We are told this, there is nothing too hard for thee. None of us can say that in our lives there has never been anything that's too hard for us. Perhaps often we find there are things that are too hard for us. They're not too hard for Almighty God. With him nothing's impossible. But you know the mercy of it. The Lord says the cause, the thing, the problem, the trouble, the difficulty, the need that you have, it's too hard for you. Bring it unto me. You say, can I bring it unto thee, Lord God, the one who made the heavens and the earth? The Lord says, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. You young ones, don't forget this, that our help, it cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, and that power that created all things is given by the Lord to help his people, that strength that they need, and that help when these troubles are too great for them. Ah, Lord God, says Jeremiah, the power that belongeth unto God. Well, what does this word mean to you and I this afternoon? If we haven't been shown that we have no power, no might, no strength of our own, then it won't mean anything at all to us. We won't find the preciousness in this word. But if we feel to be like those, and the Bible often speaks of them, no might, no power, no strength. Isaiah 40 speaks of it, I think. Them that have no might. He, who is it? It's God. He increaseth strength, even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. Where's the hope? It's in this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? It's not in them. It's because the power belongeth unto God. So, if there is that attractiveness to us in this word, it is because we feel our need of this power, this strength that God has to give. You know, thinking of this word, I thought of that account in Numbers. Really, it's a sad solemn account in Numbers 22 of Balaam and Balak. Even they had to prove they had no power. They wanted to do their own thing. They couldn't even say what they wanted to say. And Balaam answered Balak and said, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do it less or more. Here we have these two together, Balak speaking to Balaam what he would have him say, but they find they can only do that which they are given the power to do. They have not the power to speak one word beyond what the Lord has permitted them to. Not that power to speak one thing beyond what they are permitted to. Balaam said unto Balak, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that should I speak. Do we realize that every bit of strength and power that we need is given to us? Do we acknowledge it? Balaam had to be brought to that point. Have I now any power at all? Well, we ought to give the honor and glory to God that we, for that strength that we are given in natural things also, to remember this, that power that belongeth unto God. Just to pause here. Wicked Balaam and Balak, they were given power to speak. They weren't able to speak what they wanted to. The Lord set a bound. You think of right through the word of God how many ungodly men and women were given power to go so far. Power against, fighting against the Lord's people. Power to speak against them. Power to smite the Lord's people. You say, how does this then fit in with this text, that power belongeth unto God? Because Almighty God gives that power where he will, in his sovereign purpose. But he has set a bound. There is a limit. That power that is given to the enemies of the Lord's people is a bound that cannot be passed over. You read of it so much in the book of Job. And Satan comes to Job to tempt him. There came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. You say, why was it allowed? Why was Satan allowed to come as well? Why was he allowed to inflict all this trouble, this bereavement, this sorrow upon Job? Because the Lord made a hedge about him. Because the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, but upon himself put not forth thine hand. It was the Lord's will that Satan should be given so much power, but it wasn't almighty power, and it never will be. Power, great power, almighty power, exceedingly great power, that belongeth unto God. And so we, you know, the story of Job, how Satan was permitted to do so much. But there was a limit to what he could do. And Satan was only permitted to go so far. because power belongeth unto God. Then, of course, it comes to my mind in the New Testament. We have the Lord Jesus there in the judgment hall there before Pilate, and falsely accused and cruelly treated. And Pilate heard that the Lord Jesus ought to die, says the Jews, because of that law that he made himself the Son of God. And he went to the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" And Jesus gave him no answer. And then said Pilate, "Speakest thou not unto thee? Knowest thou not?" You think of these words that Pilate speaks, "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And have power to release thee." You think of the arrogance of Pilate, thinking of all the power that he thought he had. You know, we need to check ourselves. We need to consider our own ways. How much we think we have so much power. "Knowest thou not that I have power?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." It's the fulfillment of our text. Power belongeth unto God. You think how far Pilate and the high priest and the scribes and the Jews, they were permitted to crucify the Lord of life and glory. But they could only do so by that power that they were given. "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." And so we read how Pilate sought to release him. He saw the power of the Lord Jesus. He saw that power it belonged unto him. Well, so it is at times, and it may trouble us, how those who despise the Lord, those who persecute the Lord's people, those who live wicked lives, they seem to prosper, they seem to have so much power. But all things are in the Lord's hands. That power that belongeth unto him. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. What did we read in the book of the Exodus? You know, there's so much in these 10 plagues that were sent in the day of Moses. And the Pharaoh would not let the Lord's people go. You think of how Moses must have felt these times when the Lord says, "Go in unto Pharaoh." You read of it in chapter 3 when the angel of the Lord appeared. This is the Lord Jesus in a flame of fire. And the Lord says, "You are to go before Pharaoh. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I'm going to deliver them. And I have a work for you to do, Moses. I will send thee unto Pharaoh. And thou mayest bring forth but my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Well, might Moses say, "Who am I? I have no strength. I have no might. I cannot do this great thing that I am being asked to do." Moses would have to learn this, that power belongeth unto God. That in himself he had no strength. In himself he had no might. The Lord said unto him, "Certainly, certainly I will be with thee." Moses kept coming back again and again. that he couldn't do it, he wasn't eloquent, he wasn't a man of words, he wasn't able to speak. And the Lord says, Moses, it's not through your power, the power is mine. I have a work to do, and you will do that work, but it won't be in your own strength. And so as we read in chapter 9, the Lord says, go unto Pharaoh, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews. It wasn't the word of Moses to Pharaoh, it was the word of the Lord God. And Moses was to tell Pharaoh of all those grievous plagues that would be sent in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh could do nothing to stop them. Why? Because of our text, because power belongeth unto God. And also what's most remarkable and striking throughout these plagues, the separation between Israel and the Egyptians. Thou shalt know that the Lord has set a bound. There was a line that could not be crossed one way or the other. Power beloveth unto God, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and nothing whatsoever of the children of Israel would die. Power beloveth unto God, and the Lord appointed a set time. Nothing could delay that time. It could not be postponed, it could not be accelerated. It could not be reduced in its severity. It could not be changed one iota, because it was the Lord's appointment. And power belongeth unto God. And so we read of those plagues, the rain, the boils, the thunder, the hail and the fire. Very grievous. All those magicians, how wise they thought themselves to be. To be in the house of Pharaoh, and yet they could do nothing before the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord says in verse 16 unto Moses, in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power. Though it's important, these words, we read them carefully. It wasn't Moses' power to be shown. It was God's power to be shown in Moses. And Moses could not do that great task were it not for that power that belongeth unto God. And the Lord spoke everything for Moses. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow about this time. This is what I will send. This is what will happen. He knew all things that would take place. He knew how Pharaoh would respond. But there was that way appointed for Moses to go. And he was given that power, that strength to walk in it. And again, going unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. The power belongeth unto God. Well, leaving Moses and Pharaoh and David, what about you and me this afternoon? What does it mean to us? In those times we feel our weakness, our lack of strength. We come like Jehoshaphat, we have no might against this great company. What's your great company this afternoon? The devil, your colleagues, those around you at college, school, those you meet with day by day, Satan himself. Do you know it? We have no might. No might against this great company. Neither know we what to do. Where are you looking? Can you say like Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are upon thee. Why did Jehoshaphat say that? Because he realized, he had been taught, that power belongeth unto God. Well, just very briefly, spiritually, what does this word mean? Power belongeth unto God. You feel the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the sickness of sin. You feel perhaps the condemnation of it. And that's a great company to you, and you don't know what to do. And you've got no might against this great company. You cannot make yourself any better. You cannot cleanse one sin. What did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew chapter 9? There was the sick of the palsy. They brought this man lying on a bed. That was their faith, to bring him unto Jesus. And that is the place of our refuge. That is our rock and our salvation, like David. To bring our needs unto Jesus. And the Lord says, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribe said, he's blaspheming. Jesus said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why did he say these things? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Goes back to that first hymn again. You and I have no power ourselves to forgive, to cleanse, to wash away, to blot out one sin. But do you know what we have in Matthew 9? Ye may know that the Son of Man, Jesus himself, hath power on earth. Jesus, who says at the end of this Gospel of Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You say, well, is that all power enough for all my sins? There's another little text with that lovely word, all. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. From all sins, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So the Lord Jesus spoke to the sick of the palsy. So he speaks down to the end of time to his people. All power is given unto me. That way of salvation made. Even going down to Calvary to lay down his life, a sacrifice for sin. That power belongeth unto God. You think of that. The Lord Jesus bleeding, dying upon the cross in his humiliation. His judgment was taken away. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. To see the Lord Jesus in his humanity, smitten, stricken, and afflicted. See him dying on the tree. And yet in the Godhead there was not one tiny change to this word. Power belongeth unto God. The Lord Jesus in his weakness, in his humanity, he crucified in the weakness, we are told. I just turn to it in closing. He was crucified through the weakness of his human flesh. And yet, in that suffering and bleeding and dying upon the cross, he made that way of eternal life. We have it, I think, in the at the end of the second epistle to the Corinthians. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. That's where the power comes from, toward you. The Lord Jesus says, because I live, that ye shall live also. And the apostle goes on to say, when I am weak, then am I strong. When we are weak in ourselves and we have no hope in ourselves, no confidence in the flesh, then we are strong, because we realise this and we walk this out, that power belongeth unto God. Well, may we now know this power for ourselves in our lives, and especially that power to forgive sins, and also that power of the Holy Ghost that we read of in our hearts, in the services of the house of God, that there might be that power of the Holy Ghost. The power that belongeth unto God. We'll leave it there. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 1049. Tune Jonathan 356. It was the first verse that brought me to this hymn. The Christian navigates the sea, where various forms of death appear, nor skill, alas, nor power has he, aright his dangerous course to steer. Though fear his heart should overwhelm, he'll reach the port for which he's bound, for Jesus holds and guides the helm, and safety is where he is found. Hymn 1049, tune Jonathan 356.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.